Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, Hickwood today published a review about long COVID, the first international review on long COVID by an Irish team. Among the findings were that people with long COVID are more likely to be women, older, and to have been admitted to hospital because of COVID-19. It's also still not known why long COVID occurs. Well, for more on this review, we're joined now from our Cork studio by Michelle O'Neill, who's Deputy Director of the Health Technology Assessment at HICWA. And you're very welcome, Michelle, to the programme this evening. As part of this study, you looked at other studies involving 1.1 million participants.
Yes, that's right. So this study looked internationally at studies that have been conducted, so essentially collating information from a wide number of studies. So we included 51 in total, which, as you said, was 1.1 million participants who have suffered from long COVID, who've been involved in studies around on long COVID internationally.
And what did you find?
Well, I guess what we found is there's still a lot we don't know about long COVID, and we're still, you know, still trying to understand this. One of the key findings was, though, that long COVID affects all age groups and all populations. The key symptoms that people are reporting are fatigue, brain fog, confusion and memory loss, a loss of sense of smell and breathing problems. We also found, as you said, that women, older people and those who have been admitted to hospital for their initial COVID infection are more likely to be reporting the symptoms of long COVID.
Do we have any idea at this point how prevalent it is then?
Well, that's one of the things we saw, a lot of variation in the estimate of prevalence across the studies we looked at. It ranged from about 15% to 53% in the general population. So that's quite a wide range there. I mean, part of that is due to the different studies that were included. They looked at different populations. They looked at different symptoms, which again is probably reflective of the fact that we don't yet know a lot about long COVID. And some of these studies are the initial studies trying to get a grip on what is actually happening out there.
I suppose maybe to that point of what exactly long COVID is, at this point, do we even have a definition of it?
Not really. I mean, it is a complex condition. It affects multiple systems and multiple organs. It can vary widely from person to person. We do know that it does have substantial impact for some individuals, where it impacts their daily living and has a large effect on their quality of life. However, symptoms do tend to fluctuate over time. Some individuals may see an improvement over time. However, we did also see that long COVID persists. So we included studies up to 2 years in duration. And there were indeed individuals within those who still had symptoms of long COVID at that time point.
And what is the prevalence of that then, people who still have symptoms after 2 years?
Again, that's not quite clear. It probably isn't as high as that 53% that we saw, but we really don't know at this point what that prevalence is.
It sounds like there needs to be an awful lot more research, Michelle.
There does indeed, and particularly in the Irish setting. None of the studies we included were Irish studies. However, there is some ongoing research which is being led by the HSE public health team. It's called the FADA study, looking at long COVID within Ireland to get a better handle on what's happening here.
You mentioned that it seems to be more prevalent in certain age groups and in certain sexes. So women, firstly, do we have any idea why?
No, we don't know why the differences exist. I mean, this study was really about trying to understand what we do know. And what we did see was, although, yes, men do get long COVID, they're not immune to this, their rates were higher in women. And also with age groups, we saw a sort of increasing reporting of symptoms as you got older. So there wasn't a sort of a cutoff point where people below a certain age didn't get long COVID. We saw it through all ages, but the older you got, the more likely it was you were to develop long COVID symptoms.
Okay. And what about then the prevalence in children? Because a lot of talk about whether or not children were really getting COVID at all, or, you know, were they basically immune?
No, we did certainly see some instances of COVID cases within children. But again, it's that you're more likely to get it the older you are. So children are less likely than older people. However, there are definitely cases of long COVID reported in the literature within children.
But do we have, again, the question of prevalence?
Again, no. Unfortunately not. I guess one of the studies we do have, so in England, the ONS, they did a study in January to see how prevalent the symptoms of long COVID were in the whole population there. And they were estimating about 3% of the population in England were experiencing long COVID symptoms there.
Okay. The big question then many people ask, and I suspect you're not going to have the answer, but you never know, why does it happen?
No, unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that. We don't really know. We kind of see three different sorts of groups of people with long COVID. People who experience symptoms, which then during their initial COVID infection would continue on. So, for example, they might lose their sense of smell or have respiratory problems that continue. We have other individuals who develop new symptoms after COVID has, you know, the initial infection has gone. So, you know, fatigue or memory loss or cognitive dysfunction. We also have other individuals who are seeing new conditions that they didn't have before COVID. So, for example, respiratory issues like asthma or diabetes or renal issues. So there's quite a lot of differences going on in the population that we've yet to really understand what's triggering this.
So it's pre-existing conditions then in among that, the people who have pre-existing conditions were, and again, this was something that was a theme throughout the pandemic, you know, that if you had certain pre-existing conditions, you might be more likely to get COVID or more at danger if you did get COVID. Now, I know that's different to long COVID, but where do pre-existing conditions come in all this?
Yes, we did see an increase with people who had pre-existing conditions, but also that their pre-existing conditions got worse following COVID. So, for example, respiratory conditions got worse in on average got worse when those who developed COVID.
And were there any particular pre-existing conditions apart from asthma then that were any surprise to you?
Well, there were respiratory conditions, but also kidney conditions and kidney failure also came up, which, you know, I guess might not be the most obvious thought initially. But again, we're at very early stages with this, and there's a lot of research ongoing to find out really what is happening with long COVID.
Well, I know if you speak to anyone who's suffering from long COVID, they often get very hopeless, you know, with the sort of lack of information. And that's no criticism of people. It's a new disease. And I know there's an awful lot of research going on. What resources do you think are needed in the health service to treat this and also to research it?
Well, I think one of the things that came out clearly from the review is that this is a multi-organ disease and there's a wide range of symptoms. So to adequately provide the services, we do need to be looking at multidisciplinary services and multidisciplinary clinics so they can pull in all the needed specialties to deal with the wide variety of symptoms that individuals see.
Well, thank you very much for joining us with that update. That's Michelle O'Neill, Deputy Director of Health Technology Assessment at HICWA.